The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio with me and Daniel Tagg. Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
How you doing? So Anthony Cernelia is on the controls.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm kicking like a couple chickens.
You're doing what?
What?
Kicking like a couple chickens?
Clicking?
Kicking like a couple chickens.
Oh, kicking like a couple chickens.
I've never heard that.
I have never heard that either, Anthony. Where did you learn that from? Like your Uncle Joe or something?
No, I think I was probably bored one day and I was kicking like a chicken.
Okay. Well, do you have an Uncle Tony? I know you're Anthony.
I have a Frank, a Snooky, a Ralph.
A Snooky?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before the Snooki.
What's
up with that? So I'm an upstate New York Italian. That's like more New Jersey. Where's your family from?
My father, I guess, we're the southern part in Louisiana. I guess my grandfather actually, he came over on the boat.
Yeah, my grandfather did too.
With my grandmother. So, okay. Yeah, we're more the southern Italian, I guess you could say, in the Americas.
How'd your dad end up there? He just decided to go to Louisiana?
No, my grandfather was a dentist, and the guys he was working with, they were inventing this dental X-ray cone and doing stuff, and they were doing it.
Can do damage to your thyroid, in case anybody didn't know that. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There's
so many things that we don't know and so many things that we do know, and you know, your health is your wealth. It is.
Yes.
And if you guys can hear it in my voice, I am a little weathered. My BFF is fighting for her life. They put her on a hospice late last night, and it's just a rough road for all of us that love her so much and have fought for 4 years for her life. And, you know, your health is your wealth. And that's one of the reasons I truly am so passionate about doing this show. I genuinely care about people. And I think it's being raised Italian, Anthony, you know, and we love our food. We care about our food. We care about our community. As, you know, I was raised in a small town. And we really did. It was a very close-knit, you know, Irish, Italian Catholic town for the most part. And so
where was it?
In Watertown, New York, upstate New York. That's where I grew up.
It's
passion. We are passionate about the food. And so
everything
about everything, but especially the food. Yeah. And you know, I have another friend of mine, Les, I won't identify who it is because it might not go well. But anyway, it's somebody that I do care about, even though they don't think that I maybe would care about them and their child. And it is, I dug myself into a hole here. Okay, let me just start over. So this friend of a friend of mine sent something to the house last night, and it was in this container, and in a gluten-free strawberry cream cheesecake or something like that. And so her little daughter has gained some weight and isn't maybe as healthy as she might like her to be. So they put her on a dairy-free and gluten-free diet. Well, you have to be really aware of your labels. Flip the label over and look. Start educating yourself, because this cake that she thought was a treat for her daughter that was gluten-free, that was probably half healthy, was full of sugar, tons and tons of every different kind of sugar you could think of, fake everything, fake strawberries, fake. It's had canola oil in it, like all this just horrible stuff. And we need to read our labels. And just because something says it's gluten-free, don't just assume that it's, and I've done it too. So I did it the other day. I talked about it on the air. Remember when my daughter picked up a frozen dinner and it said gluten-free on it and it was all in green? And I thought, oh, well, it's probably non-GMO too. Didn't flip it over and read it, threw it in the cart, and sure enough, it was genetically engineered.
What about chicken? How it says gluten-free on it when all chicken is gluten-free.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, and chicken, you know what? Yeah. I would eat a lot less meat if you're worried about your health, and truly only eat pasture-raised or grass-finished beef, because mm-hmm. now there's this thing, grass-fed, grass-finished. Grass-fed is turning into another lie now, too, because they're taking them before they take them to slaughter, and then they load them up on corn because it makes them way more, gets them fatter quicker, and they get more per pound. They get paid by the pound, right? Mm-hmm. When they, you know, turn the cows over for processing, and they're not treated well. And I think one of the best types of meat, I don't even know if there's a kosher butcher here in Dallas anymore, but you know, the Jews have been treating animals well for years and years. When they slaughter an animal, they do it correctly. So anytime something says that it's kosher, you're safe.
Right.
Pretty much. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they do it right. They do it humanely. They do it the way it's supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not excessive about their meat consumption either.
No.
Like a lot of cultures, the American culture has just gotten out of control with our meat consumption. And that's one of the reasons, you know, my friend is on her deathbed. Truthfully, it's in our food. It really, really is. We're poisoned by so many different things out there. Our milk is tainted with RBST, RBGH, you know, again, more hormones and steroids and antibiotics and all these things that have just zapped our immune system, and we can't fight off cancer anymore. That's why it's so prevalent.
Yeah, there's so many things contributing to it.
And
yeah.
Rosalie Robinson just jumped in the studio. How are you doing? what are we talking about with you today, Rosalie?
The side of thank you so much.
The dark side of what?
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, okay. The art of dealing with people in a sensitive and effective way. I like that.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is an art.
It is an art.
It really is an
art.
But
it has a dark side.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear what that is. I'm trying to think. I'm kind of tired. I can't think very well this morning. And with Daniel Tagg, we're going to be talking about foot function.
Yes.
Conjunction.
Yeah. I so need
Everyone
that.
Does. Everything starts at the foot. Yeah, and just read some of those notes. Like over a quarter of the bones are in the foot.
Do you know
the
what?
The whole body.
I just read this and I thought, this is such a perfect day for me to be here.
Really?
I so need this so badly.
Well, you know, I'm famous for a lot of things, and one of them is walking around barefoot all the time. Like, I love
me
to be
too.
Barefoot.
I do the same thing.
You and I have a lot of similarities. We really do. We both like to be naked. We both like to be barefoot.
Yeah. I've heard you talk about this before.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like,
it's
really?
True. Very true.
Be careful. I got pregnant really easy, too, so watch it.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
That escalated.
Yeah. I think that's a different show.
That is a different show.
Oh, my gosh. So foot function.
Yes.
This is important stuff, though.
It's
it
huge.
Really is.
It's huge, yeah. We don't put enough emphasis on feet, and too often we put the wrong kind of emphasis on feet and putting up all these fake arches and stuff that shoe salesmen try to sell us. And yeah, it's a very complicated thing that we try to simplify, and it's not simple.
Well, I'll demonstrate one of my exercises that I do a little later on in the show that I do barefoot, and I'm more effective doing it barefoot. In spite of Tina Burnett, who's coming to stay with me for a week,
I think
next week she's coming. We're gonna be playing girlfriends.
Nice.
At the house. I'm sure we'll be drinking a lot of wine, which is not. I gotta stop drinking so much. Seriously, I drank way too much wine last night.
Hey, but it's just a glass, right?
You had a glass. You know,
it's like a bottle.
Glass. At least it's organic.
Depends on how big the glass is.
Yes, exactly. And it depends on what kind of wine.
Some people have big glasses.
Well, Anthony, I'm gonna bring you in on this because you're Italian, and you know Italians love their wine. You like your wine too, or no? Are you a wine drinker?
I am.
Okay, so how did you grow up? My father had the little. In fact, I bought Marie 4 little glasses yesterday from Bar and Garden, where I go and get my organic wine right now. And my father drank wine out of a little tiny, like just a little circular wine glass that like held. You know, it was like hand size. Do you drink out of the fancy wine glass? I don't.
No, there was a jug on the floor and that was in my grandmother's house, and obviously. You know, once time went on, it was...
a jug on the floor. We kept a jug on the kitchen table with the straw, you know, the Chianti with the straw on the outside.
Yeah, we had a glass kitchen table. For some reason, that jug just didn't...
You had a glass kitchen table?
Yeah.
Wow, you're high-end Italian, huh?
I know.
Super fancy.
Fancy dude.
Fancy Italian, okay.
No, it just didn't sound very good putting it on and off.
Well, you know, my mother was Irish, so she had some influence in the home, you know. Actually, my mother was running it, basically.
See, that
sounds like it.
Yeah, you know
how
those
Irish. Yeah,
my
mother's
Irish.
My father was Sicilian, so I'm Irish.
Oh, you're half Irish, too?
Yeah, my mother is Cherokee Irish, my father's Sicilian. So
wow. Oh, there you go, throwing around the Sicilian.
It's not Italian. I'm not blonde and blue.
I know, yeah, right?
So the blonde right. is Northern.
It's a Northern Italian. What are you saying? There's something wrong with that?
Not at all.
Oh, she's ready to pick a fight. She's feisty today.
I'm just acting for humor. Trying to make everybody laugh, lighten your spirits, you know. But we really do have a great show coming up. So I think we'll go to break and we'll get after it. And can't wait. The Dark Side of Diplomacy and Foot Function right here on One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with, Danny Miles with Anthony Cernelia and Lexi Brinkley. We've got Rosalie Robinson in studio with us and Daniel Tagg. We also have Marie in studio. We're going to start putting her on the mic. She's a really...
I told her to get on the mic. She wouldn't.
She isn't. Just say hello, Marie. Come on. Come on, Marie.
Hi.
She's a little shy, but you know, we're gonna warm her up because she has some interesting perspectives on things.
She has an interesting life.
She does have an interesting life. Yeah, she had a lot of fun in Chicago.
Oh, come on, you gotta tell a little bit.
No,
we
can't. No.
Oh wow.
Okay. I don't think it's appropriate.
Oh wow.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Anyways,
group. I need a sip of coffee. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so she's going for the sip of coffee.
My gosh, I had to cough. I did. I told you I drank a little too much wine last night, and I didn't sleep well, and I cried a lot, and so my voice and my throat's just a little jacked today. It is. And so, all right, let's regroup. So, Daniel Tagg, for those of you who don't know who he is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training. He is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems. And I love this guy. He brings so much energy to the show. He really does, and so much knowledge. And today we're talking about foot function. And as we talked about at the opening, I run around barefoot a lot, like most of the time. I bought some of those, are they called zero shoes?
Zero drop shoes.
Zero. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever tried a pair? I bought some at Paleo FX and I really like them. Oh, that's what you're wearing.
Well,
I
mean,
they're New Balance shoes, but it's zero drop, yeah. So less support.
Oh, no, I think that's a different shoe then. No,
are you talking about it's actually the name of the shoe is zero?
I think, yeah, it's with an X.
It's with
an X, I think.
No, I've seen those. That's a good pair of shoes. Yeah, I was thinking you were mentioning the drop in the shoe. Okay.
Well, and Tina was always on my rear end saying, you got to wear shoes. I wish you'd get some shoes. Will you buy some new shoes? And so when we were at Paleo FX, they had those shoes there. And I thought, you know what? And they tout them as feeling like you're going to be barefoot because I like my feet free. I just do. And it's more comfortable. I love to be barefoot. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I bought a pair. And I do like them, but there are certain exercises still that I do that I don't have the engagement that I like with the rest of my body unless mm-hmm. I'm barefoot. And I, that's why we decided we were going to talk about this today.
Well, and so, you get better proprioception the less padding you have on the foot. So barefoot, like a lot of this is why
you
barefoot
get best,
squats,
you get, okay, you
better
get,
proprioception. So there's signals in the foot
okay.
that actually send the signal to
see,
the glutes
I knew that,
and some
instinctively.
Other things to fire more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And the less kind of material you have between the ground and your foot, the better proprioception, the better sensory motion you can get, the better contraction of the muscles.
Okay, well, I'm going to show you this exercise that I do. I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'll show
okay,
you.
Okay, here she
here
goes. She's
go.
Taking off the headphones. She always gets a good smile with this. She likes working out in
getting
the studio. Yeah,
so
okay. So she's got 10 pounds in her hand, on in
each
hand. Each hand. She got them by her sides.
Yeah.
Okay, she's not putting her rear end in my face. She's leaning over with one leg and putting the other leg straight out.
Look at the balance on that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Look at that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like almost a one-legged hip extension. You like lean over, kind of like a ballerina.
Yeah, with 10 pounds in each hand, and you stay engaged with the with your hamstring and your glute real tight for like 6 seconds. And then you go back down, and I do sets of sets of six on each leg, and don't touch the floor if I can help it at all.
With one leg.
Yeah,
so you're only doing one leg. One leg is on the floor, so she's not just jumping.
Yeah, one leg.
Don't touch the floor.
No. Well, the leg that I'm kicking out never touches the floor, which you have to have incredible balance to do, but it tightens up my abdomen, and I keep my back straight, so it's just like, it feels good to do that. It really feels good.
A lot of different things there, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why are the feet so important to the overall function of the body?
It's the first thing that hits the ground every time we take a step, so that's where all movement starts, and the most common movement pattern that we do every day is gait or walking, right? So like to give you a little idea, like everyone talks about pronation supination of the foot. You go to the
shoe
salesman.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Yeah. The pronation supination is actually something that happens through the whole body. It's inversion, eversion that actually happens at the foot. Like when the shoe salesman says, oh, you're a supinator. Well, hopefully, because everyone should pronate and supinate. It's a loading, unloading.
I have never heard any of these words. You know I was being facetious,
right?
Oh,
really?
Yes, of course.
You've never gone to a shoe salesman where they're like, oh, you supinate. We need the outside of your shoes worn more, so we need to get you into some arch supports. And
never heard
do
that.
All this, really.
Probably because my supinates are good. You know, and I'm telling you, okay, we're going back to being Italian, Anthony, because I don't know about you, but Italians, my father was a shoemaker, so was my grandfather and my uncles. That's what they did when they got over here. They opened a shoe shop and they bought shoes, but they also made shoes.
Oh,
and they were quite successful at it.
So I'm surprised you haven't heard these words.
Yeah, I know. So I've never heard them. Well, I wasn't even born when they were over here making shoes.
Well, you know, supination, pronation, something happens through the whole body, but pronation is basically loading. Okay, or it's inversion of the foot, or excuse me, eversion of the foot, and supination is unloading, or it is inversion of the foot.
Okay, so all right, I'm listening.
So it's basically collapsing down. Everyone should have a little bit of an arch. That arch should kind of collapse down and kind of go down. The tibia or the ankle kind of internally rotates, and that happens throughout the whole body. There's rotation in the trunk, everything else. But to give you an idea of how complicated the foot is, there's 26 bones in each foot, 52 in both of them together, right?
Wow.
That's over a quarter of the bones in the whole body. There's 206 bones in the body. So there's 33 joints in the foot, okay? And there's over 100 muscles and ligaments in the foot.
Isn't that insane?
We're talking about the ankle down. Yeah.
That's a lot of everything.
Yes. And that has to all sequence in the right way to be able to load and unload. And then we put these, you know, huge blocks of shoes that prevent us from pretty much loading, because everyone is really heavy on arch supports nowadays, so it doesn't let us to collapse that arch and actually load. Now, there's some people that need a little support, but most people don't.
I have high arches.
I have a huge arch in my foot.
Yeah, so you guys don't need any kind of support. If anything, you need something that's bringing you down.
And what about high heels? Are they bad for me?
Oh,
tell me no.
Oh, they're horrible.
Are you serious?
Whoever invented those things was a very cruel, cruel, cruel person.
Really?
I mean, they are absolutely horrible. And personally, I think
but the Italians make them right, though. They you know, I'm serious about this.
I'm weird that way. I know. You're looking at me weird.
Yeah.
Well, I think girls look better in tennis shoes.
Well, no. The only reason I look at you weird, I don't really love heels.
I hate
but
heels.
Yeah, because they're so uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
But my foot doctor told me, you know what? You need to wear heels and have even a wedge in your slipper because of plantar fasciitis, right?
You're probably not unloading.
Well, I learned to dance in heels and not as a stripper. Okay, don't even go there.
Wow, I wasn't going there until you did.
I knew you were going there. I knew as soon as I said was going there.
No pole?
Well, I do have a fire pole in my house, but no pole for that.
I don't,
if you're really good,
that.
You don't need a pole. Okay, so...
Wow.
But when you learn to dance, you know, you have the dancer's shoes have just a little, like, you know, like a 1.5-inch heel on them when you dance. Unless you're in ballet slippers, but, like, you know, modern dance.
Your calf is contracted, and it makes the leg look more defined and a little bit better for most people.
Well, there you go.
And that's why heels get such a big thing. But you're basically in an unloaded phase of your foot the whole time.
Hmm.
And it's not good to be in that unloaded or extended phase the whole time.
Damn it, Jim.
It changes the whole mechanics of every time you hit the ground. Puts a lot more stress on the knees, hips, back, everything.
Mm. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, but you look so good in them.
Whenever I was having, I was dealing with some chiropractors and stuff like that when I was in South Florida, he told me to make sure I walked on the beach barefooted because the neutrons from the earth travel through the feet and it is actually healthy for
you. Neutrons.
Yes, that is very, that is important. It's called grounding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, there's a lot of legit science behind that.
Well, and I'll tell you the best thing to do.
Is it better for sand or better for actually soil? Is there
I haven't heard which one's better. I just know it's important to get grounded, and it's soil, grass, anything natural from what I understand. It's not great on pavement, obviously.
You said once a day at least, get out and do 20, 30-minute walk barefooted.
Yep, do that in sun gaze. Well, and that's
I was just
going to
say,
you
want to really get naturally high. Okay, do that and stare into the yellow and the gold in the sun as it's setting. Not straight into the sun, but the rays. But it does all kinds of fabulous things to you. It really does.
Yeah. It actually does energize you. That's how you get the energy through the grounding of the feet and through the ocular system of the eyes.
Sean Wells, who's a regular on the show, a fellow through the International Society of Sports Nutrition and a dear friend of all of ours, he posted something on Facebook. Maybe you can pull it up. It was an article about exactly what we're talking about, and it's very scientific about what sun gazing does to does amazing things to the body and the mind.
Yeah, it's basically photosynthesis through the eye, like the same way the plants and everything
like
get the energy.
Exactly.
We do the exact same thing.
Well, and people go so far as to say that you can go without eating for long periods of time if you sun gaze by just absorbing the energy from the sun. Isn't
that
crazy?
And he does that blue light theory in his ears,
you're not taking my food,
right?
But
no, not the blue light theory in the ear.
But he does something in his ears, too. He said
he does.
He does the blue light in his ears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole other subject.
Oh, never mind.
But they're all connected.
Yes, they are all connected. And then, But back on the foot function.
Okay, so what makes up the foot? We got 26 bones, 52 overall. What else do you want us to know about the foot?
There's kind of three sections of the foot. There's the hind foot, the midfoot, and the forefoot. And all of those have to be able to go through different loading, unloading phases. So the main thing is it's much more complicated than we think. We can't just get on there and start doing stuff and think that we're working it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get with someone that really knows the foot and can train the foot to be able to do it the correct way and find out how your foot needs to be trained. Just like everything else I talk about, it's based on your structure. Every functional movement is based on your structure. So you need to know what your structure is and then gear the movement around that for your structure. Because what you're going to do for your feet might be different than what I do for my feet, because you have higher arches, which is more the midfoot, how the calcaneus and subtalar, which is kind of more the hind foot. They're two bones in the body.
Man, you know your stuff. Seriously, I had no idea you were like a foot expert.
Well, I wouldn't call myself a foot expert, but I'm knowledgeable on most parts of the body. The hands are the other most complicated things, which is one of my weakest areas of knowledge, because it also has quite a few bones in it. But just to let you know, it's a very complicated thing, and we can't just go in there and put all kinds of fake supports. And if we've had all those fake supports our whole life, we can't just take them away right away and go to barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to step it down and making sure that you're strengthening up your foot in the right way.
Well, I think one of the reasons I recovered from my fracture from January so quickly, really, and so well, is because my foot was so strong from being barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I not bragging, but I was back in heels, you know, in like 3 months. That's pretty remarkable.
It is. Yeah, but that's where you need to be able to train it, because you do a lot of training barefoot, which is good, because you're working it more in the way that it should be worked. But there's more specific exercises. The main one that I want to tell people is get your shoes and socks off, go on one leg, take the other leg up off the floor, and then balance yourself and let the arch kind of collapse, and then let it roll out to the outside of the foot and let it collapse and kind of build that arch and kind of work on building that arch. That's one of the best ways to work on the loading and unloading phase, and then just switch legs. Do that like 5 or 10 times.
Well, we might have a little more foot talk, but we're also going to be talking about fat bombs and the ketogenic diet. Did you know that Daniel's a fat bomb maker?
Well, I was going to say, what the hell is a fat bomb?
You weren't here when we had the fat bombs.
No,
you don't know what fat bombs are?
What's a fat bomb?
Well, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to talk all about it.
Teaser.
You're listening to One Life Radio.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Weather Center, partly cloudy at 76 degrees with a heat index of 87. The low is 73. This weather report is brought to you by Unbound.
Right now, there are young people across the world facing a tough choice. Continue their dream of education or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment. See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Laugh. Do guys really make noises like that when they see a girl that's hot? They do. They go, whatever it was he was doing. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Rosalie Robinson in studio and Daniel Tagg. For those of you that don't know who Rosalie is, she is the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital, and she is the vice president of human resources for MEG Retail Group. She is our in-house human resources expert, and a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking about the dark side of diplomacy. And right now, we're going to continue on with Daniel Tagg. He is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center right next to the iHeart Media Studios here on the Tollway in North Dallas, Texas.
Yes. I love that. I can just walk across the street.
I know, right?
Or parking lot, not even street.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of parking spaces that we don't.
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah.
Well, we have like just a couple on the side here and then some down there. Really interesting. Yeah. They make us park on the fourth floor, so I don't know about.
They do?
Oh, yeah. We got to go all the way down. We're the first people in the
Oh, I didn't know
building,
that.
And we got to go all the way down the fourth floor. I'm not complaining, though.
Wow, you're not.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Get that workout.
You know what?
Yeah,
I got over my fear of going down there. I used to have like fear of going down and and now I don't. I went down to the third and fourth floor.
Well, I love we have some connections with, you know, and we were going to get her like her own like little private parking spot within the Telos parking spots. And she's like, you know, I don't want to be treated any different. She's like, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to face my fear. I was like, oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah, well, I'm over it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm happy to say.
You got to face your fears.
You do have to face your fears. Yep. That's from a movie.
Is it?
What is it? It's like an old movie. You got to face your fears, climb every mountain.
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Oh,
sound of
wow.
Music. Yeah.
You know, it's say, climb every mountain.
Yeah. You like that movie too, don't you?
I love that movie.
I do too. I watched it a lot when I was a kid. My mother.
I would try and belt it out, but that would be bad.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
No,
oh, come on,
Lexi.
Oh,
come on,
Lexi.
Hey, Marie. Marie, can you sing?
No, she said no.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I really want to know about fat bombs. You know, I have to say, like, I am not intimidated by anything in the kitchen, but fat bombs make me a little nervous. And then I found this. I know you're like, why would that make you nervous?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I felt I've never made anything really in a mold. I'm not a mold girl. I'm not a, you know, I just don't. Silicone doesn't seem
right.
I'm kidding myself. Doesn't seem very natural to me, okay? Ba-dum-bum. And I don't want to heat it up and cook in it. But fat bombs don't use heat, right? It's all cold.
Well, yeah, you could melt the butter at room temperature. I throw the butter in for about maybe 30 seconds in the microwave or whatever, just to make you really, if you're going to do it right, you need to put it in a pan and kind of do it. But I'm kind of lazy sometimes, so I do use a microwave every once in a while.
Okay. So for people that we've already lost because they don't know what in the heck a fat bomb is, let's tell them what's a fat bomb.
Okay. A fat bomb is something that's a little treat that you make with mainly fat. So the basic combination of ingredients is butter, coconut oil, peanut butter, and cocoa powder with a little bit of stevia. Peanut butter. You can use almond butter too.
Okay.
That's another. That's
okay.
A better type
I did not
of oil.
Know that because a lot of the recipes that I see have like chocolate in them. Mm-hmm. Like I've got this one in front of me, raspberry fat bombs. It says for the filling, 1 cup of coconut oil, 2 teaspoons of raspberry. I don't like this raspberry flavor. Why would you do that? Why can't you just use raspberry and get the nutrients?
If you're trying to stay away from the carbs, you would. But
if you're a keto nut, okay.
Yeah, it's the keto book. She's reading right out of the keto book.
Okay.
Keto nut.
Rose, you're just snorting.
Sorry.
Well, they do get a little nutty. Okay. They do.
Well,
they get
they
a little
sometimes.
Crazy.
They do sometimes.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay, so I say use like some real raspberry puree or something
like
that.
As long as you're using minimal amounts, you're fine. Yeah,
just a teensy bit. 2/3 a cup of powdered erythritol and then a teaspoon of stevia glycerite, which I started using that, and I like it. It finishes different than regular stevia.
Interesting.
And
I'll
I don't
have
even
to
know
try
why.
That.
And so, but then it says for the coating, 1 ounce of unsweetened baking chocolate, chopped fine, 1/2 cup of powdered erythritol again, and a quarter cup of coconut oil or unsalted butter, if you're not dairy sensitive, 1/4 cup of canned full fat coconut milk, and we can put this recipe in our newsletter for those of you that that want to try to do this, and the stevia, the raspberry flavor again, the almond extract, and the fine sea salt. But
wow, it's a lot more complicated than mine.
yeah, yours are easier. I need an easy
recipe.
I'm
a lazy cooker.
Okay,
so
what's in your
easy.
Tell us again what's in your fat bomb, because were delicious.
It's literally, it's 4 tablespoons of coconut oil, 4 tablespoons of butter, 4 tablespoons of peanut butter or almond butter, and then 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, and I put like 5 drops of stevia. Blend it all up. Pour it in a mold, throw it in the freezer, done.
Okay. See, now I like that. We're going to put that recipe on our...
Well, you guys already put it on.
Did?
Yeah.
Well, we'll do it again.
But there's another one. There's another one on rule.me where you use 1/2 cup of coconut oil, 1/2 cup of heavy whipping cream, 4 ounces of cream cheese, and 1 teaspoon of orange vanilla Mio. It's like a sweetener, which there are better sweeteners to use, but it does give a good sweet taste, and 10 drops of stevia.
Wow.
And you mix all that up, throw it in. And there's so many different variations you can do. I take out the cocoa powder, and I blend up maybe about 5 or 6 strawberries, and it makes like a strawberry coconut bomb, which is really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for people that don't know what erythritol is, let us give our listeners that bit of information.
It's a sugar alcohol.
Right.
So it's a natural.
It's naturally derived from sugar,
yes.
Right? But it's a substitute that looks and tastes very much like sugar and yet has almost no calories.
Yes. And so, it does have carbs, but it's a sugar alcohol. So some people might react to it as a carb and other people might not react to it as a carb. But you do have to be careful with using too much of it or eating too much of it with erythritol or xylitol or whatever that is.
Xylitol.
Thank you. They can cause gastric distress for some people, which means you need to be by a bathroom.
Yes.
So that's where you just want to have small quantities of them, but they're way stronger than sugar, so you don't have to use as much as sugar.
And xylitol is dangerous for pets, too. You can't let your pets near it.
I didn't know that
small amounts of erythritol are found naturally in grapes, melons, mushrooms, and fermented foods such as wine, beer, cheese, and soy sauce.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Well,
it's usually made from plants, from plant sugars, which are mixed with water and then fermented.
And it's a great like we were talking about the other day, it's a great front end sweetener. So if I'm making like a brownie recipe or something like that, and it calls for all these different things, I just put in some erythritol and then some stevia. Erythritol is the front end sweetener, stevia is the back end sweetener, and it gives a nice sweet spectrum to the whole recipe.
And Sean Wells is the one that discovered that, didn't he, making keto stuff?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he discovered it, but he knows about it because he's a formulator and he's a flavor
specialist.
He's
the world's greatest formulator.
He is the world's greatest formulator. And then he knows everything about the business and everything, but he does a lot of formulation and flavoring or works with flavoring specialists. So he was the one that told me. Actually, I think it was his wife, Shelley.
She's a great cook.
Oh, she's phenomenal. Her stuff is just so good. She has so many good desserts and so many good recipes.
Yeah, she does.
Awesome.
She does. Well, I'm looking in this book, The Ketogenic Cookbook. It's the international bestseller by Jimmy Moore and Maria Emmerich. And it says that the stevia glycerite, stevia is an herb that has been used as a sweetener in South America for hundreds of years, and stevia glycerite is a thick liquid form of the sweetener that's most like honey. Unlike the powdered version, it has no bitter aftertaste, and this gentleman goes on to say, or Maria goes on to say, none of my recipes use powdered stevia, but if you purchased it for something else, make sure to check for additional ingredients, such as melted dextrin.
Yes,
there we
you
go.
You always want to check your labels, going back to what you said.
You
can't take it for granted.
Absolutely.
Go in there and then educate yourself so you know what you're looking at. There's
you
a lot
really
of resources.
Do. Well, and the maltodextrin, which is a corn derivative that raises blood sugar twice that of table sugar.
Right.
And it's like, and the FDA still has not classified it as a sugar. And
really?
You see it in so many products. And gee, I wonder why the country has diabetes, so much diabetes.
Yeah.
And we've got products like this, like maltodextrin, that is hidden in almost every processed food out there to make it have longer shelf life and to make it excite your brain more so you want to eat more.
Yeah.
And as a result, so many Americans are suffering from diabetes, even children now because of it.
Yeah, it's
alarming.
It's a problem. You need to get natural things that are going to go bad pretty quick. And that's one of the ways you know it's actually probably has no nasty stuff in it. Like Sean was actually telling me this the other day, you take regular whole butter and you take margarine, right? If you lay it out on the table and let it kind of go bad for a couple days, all the bugs will go to the real butter. They won't touch the other stuff.
Exactly. What does that tell you? That's like the cows you hear about that won't go to the genetically modified corn. If they have a choice between two cornfields, they'll stay away from the genetically modified. They instinctively know that it's poison. It's toxic. They know it.
They'll eat it if they have to because they got to survive. But yeah, they know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Well, let me ask you this. I'm looking at this thing about avocados. And of course, I love avocados. Have you ever made an avocado fat bomb?
You know, I've never made an avocado fat bomb, but I've made like an avocado mousse. It takes on the flavor, whatever you add to
What'd
it.
What'd you do?
So you add avocado, cocoa powder, a little bit of stevia. I think that was it. And
really?
It becomes like this mousse type, really tasty stuff. Because it, like I said, it takes on the, it has a good consistency. And then it takes on the flavor, whatever you add to it, which is the
Isn't
cocoa powder and stevia.
Isn't that what we had at the paleo?
I think so.
It was like
it was killer.
Ice
it was so
cream,
good.
But it was made out of avocado and
it was really good.
Powder.
They're great for desserts.
Well, I'm going to, maybe I'll make some for
so
Friday.
So good. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the Vitamix.
Oh, and the Vitamix. Ooh. I love my Vitamix, by the way.
Vitamix
I really do.
Nice.
Like, my Vitamix, I killed it this morning with the Vitamix.
Really?
I turned it up to 8 today.
Ooh. I have like 3 or 4 different blenders for different things.
Living dangerously.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We've got lots more coming up. Everybody, stay tuned. We've got Rosalie Robinson. She's going to tell us the dark side of diplomacy. Can't wait. You're listening to One Life Radio. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
From the Talk Radio 1190 Weather Center, partly cloudy at 76 degrees. Chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. The high is 84. This weather report is brought to you by the Boys and Girls Club of America.
It's 3 p.m. School's out for America's kids. And when school's out, clubs are in. It's time to support the Boys and Girls Clubs. Visit greatfutures.org.
Well, Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with, see, I almost said Danny Miles again. He's in Canton. He's on his way to Canton, or he's probably already there. Dallas Cowboys are playing in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow evening to kick off the preseason for the NFL. Nice. And so Danny's up there covering the game, producing it.
He lands in 12 minutes.
Oh, does he land in 12 minutes? All right.
Wow, well, that's precise.
Yeah, I told him to go to Heggie's and get some
nuts next
door.
He said 1 o'clock, so.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, dang. That's like almost stalkerish.
Oh, man.
I had a quick question for you, if you don't mind. With preservatives, with the decomp of human bodies, they're saying the preservatives that we're putting in our food is making our bodies not decompose as fast as they used to.
Ooh,
wow,
I've not
that's
heard
interesting.
That makes sense, though.
That's gross.
You become what you eat.
You read that?
Well, it's just because all of the preservatives that they're putting in our food.
Oh, nothing would surprise me.
That makes sense.
Oh gosh, there's so much stuff that's going into our food. Like, don't get me started, Anthony, because we need to talk about the dark side.
That's
of
why I cook all my own food. I don't. I rarely eat out. I mean, I do eat out, but
yeah. Yeah, me too, but not very often. I cook at home like 5-6 days a week for the most part. It's rare. And if I do, there's only a handful of restaurants in Dallas that I will go to that I have already done my research that I know uses a non-GMO King Arthur flour. There's a couple of pizzerias and stuff like that. It's important.
Yes,
it is.
It is.
You know, it's so important. Your health is your wealth, believe me. Yeah. You know, my friend's going through is horrible, what the family's gone through. Yeah. And, you know, it all matters. It really does. Your food is thy medicine.
Yeah.
It is to keep you healthy.
Your food and your attitude, for sure.
Absolutely.
Ooh,
and your attitude,
huge.
Too. Yes. Absolutely.
Power of the mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's running it. That and the gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there
they say that is your gut. Your gut, your brain. Your brain.
Your brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so diplomacy, the dark side of diplomacy. Rosalie Robinson, you are the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital and vice president of human resources for MAG Retail Group. You are our in-house human resources expert with over 30 years of HR leadership experience working with Fortune 500 companies. You're also an experienced PCC level executive coach with a certification from the International Federation of Coaches and the University of Texas at Dallas. So tell us, the dark side of diplomacy. What do you mean by diplomacy first?
Well, okay. So diplomacy, everyone thinks of, you know, heads of states, kings, queens, that kind of thing, because it's really about establishing good relations between countries. That's where you often hear about diplomatic relations, like the UN, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people think of.
Yeah. Okay. And so what about diplomacy at work or in the home?
So now that's a great question. So the one thing I love about diplomacy, when you think about between different countries, you think, oh, yeah, I need somebody who can get in there and have these conversations to help two opposing parties kind of get together. Well, the same thing happens at work, right? Probably not in the same context, obviously, right? So it's not like two factions off somewhere. But a lot of times, at least in my world, you have this issue that comes up between a team member or an employee and maybe a boss or a supervisor, right? And so in the function of human resources, you are in some ways helping to leverage that diplomacy, that diplomatic capability to get people to a table to really talk through concerns. Because sometimes companies will go too quick to say, I got to term somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just term that person. Get rid of them. You wouldn't kick anybody out of your family when they do something bad, right? You're not going to say,
unfortunately,
hey,
you can't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Some people threaten to leave their kids at the fire department, you know. I mean, they won't take them, but hey.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you sometimes need that help to bring people together. And I think a lot of times we do miss those sometimes in the dark side of diplomacy. So when you think about diplomatic relations, you miss the fact that these diplomats are sometimes talking to people that they are known to have a very dark side, whether you're talking about a drug lord in South America who's really known for, you know, slaughtering or killing large numbers, putting out product that absolutely causes pain and harm.
Yikes.
Right. You have, you know, folks in the Middle East who others may view with disdain. But the beautiful thing, and I listened to this, there's a BBC piece on the dark side of diplomacy, which I thought was really, really fascinating. One of the interviews they did was with Bill Richardson, right? So he is a former governor of New Mexico. And he was also an ambassador to the UN during Clinton's administration. And he was sent to go talk to Saddam Hussein. And one of the things that, you know, he said, you know, was tough. He's like, I never did this before. I'm there sitting with this guy. I'm like, what do I do? What do I say? And he said, you know, what he did was he had to prepare ahead of time before going. So it's all about getting my mind straight, understanding the person I'm going to speak to. How do I kind of couch that messaging? But he also said what was interesting is you should learn the customs. He didn't know all the customs. And so he lifted his foot at one point and the sole of his shoe was visible. And apparently that's a big insult. And yeah, it's a big insult.
So the guy, oh my gosh, I need to get over it.
Guy jumps up, leaves the room. He's like, I'm not talking to you. And, you know, he said he came back in and his advisors had told him you should apologize. And he chose not to do that. He chose not to apologize, but instead to plow forward with what his requests were and what he was trying to convey. Because typically in diplomatic relations, the diplomat has a message. They're there to deliver this message and to have it be something that goes forward. It's not, hey, I want to be your friend. It's a work relationship. And so I think a poignant thing that I kind of took away as he talked through it was, in this, you have to not characterize people as good or bad. They just are.
Interesting.
And if you take that nugget back to work, it's all too often, you know, as leaders or people at work, we sometimes characterize our fellow employees as that person sucks. They're really bad, right? You know, that person either, you know, they come to work and they smell. Why can't they take a bath like the rest of us? Well, we miss the fact there may be cultural differences, right? They may choose something that's different than what we're used to. It doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them good. It's just different. So sometimes we need that other person who can come in and also help us with that discussion and help us see that a little bit more, shift our paradigm, our mindset, mm-hmm. as to always wanting to characterize things in such distinctive, you know, black or white ways. The other thing that I thought was really interesting as you look at the dark side of diplomacy is sometimes you have to deal with folks that you would never even have tea with, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't invite you anywhere. I wouldn't pay for anything. I wouldn't talk to you. You wouldn't be in my circle.
Well, as my father used to say, that you, what is it? Anthony, I know you know this, because it's like an Italian thing, where you keep your enemies even closer.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Oh, yeah. You keep your enemies closer.
Than your friends or something. Yeah. You keep your friends close and you keep your enemies closer. That's it. I can hear my dad saying that you keep your friends close and you keep your enemies even closer.
Yeah.
That's like an Italian thing.
No, that's a good old-time saying.
Is it a good old-time
saying? It's a good saying.
Yeah. And there's some real wisdom to that, right? So if you think about, but people, especially in the U.S., we tend to like to characterize things and define them very distinctly for ourselves. And it's very hard for us to deal with anything that's amorphous or things that just don't seem like, you know, it could be good or bad or it's just is what it is. And so I think it's really important for us when we take this idea back to work to recognize, you know, even though I would never go out for a drink or beer, that's kind of my standard. Would I go for a beer with you after work? No? Well, don't characterize every relationship that way. Recognize that at work, it's about working relationships.
Yes.
So I want something that's productive for us and allows us to really do good things for the company. And hopefully I'll benefit in my career and so will you.
Well, and we talked about the art of dealing with people in a sensitive and effective way. And, you know, that kind of is what good, you know, when you think about business dealings, goodwill, you know, it's one of the intangibles, you know, it's things that kind of go on that go on unsaid, but are there, they're present and they actually have more value than the tangibles.
Yes.
In
yes.
so many ways.
Yes, they do. It's very true. And if you think about looking at some of our examples of great diplomats, you think of, you know, albeit, I guess it depends how you look at it, but Hillary Clinton was touted as one of those great diplomats. Shirley Temple Black, she was the ambassador to Ghana. And then you have Condoleezza Rice, who a lot of people, you know, she's a brilliant woman. I've seen her speak a couple of times, and I'm thoroughly always have been very, very impressed with Condoleezza Rice. But she's also someone who's credited with some of the earlier kind of agreements that we had formerly with Korea, right?
And so, who was the judge that she had the trouble with? What was his name?
Oh,
come on.
Now you remember? Stump me.
You know, what the heck was his name?
Oh, wait.
You
know, wait, I know who you're talking
Condoleezza
about.
Condoleezza Rice,
and
he said that. He said the most stupid thing a guy could say. Excuse me, is that a pubic hair on your Coke can or something really stupid like that, right? Isn't that what he said?
Was that to her or was that to someone else?
I think he said it, like, around her, because he thought that would, like, really turn her on. Duh.
Yeah, I think that was somebody else, though. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's Yes.
That
yes.
wasn't very diplomatic is the no. point, which is no. why I brought it up. It's no. like, that's
any
dumb.
Setting.
Yeah, yeah, in any setting. It's like, hello.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Supreme. What is his name? Yeah, oh, yeah. gosh. Jeez. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
He said, he's going to grab it for me. Andy's going to, or Andy. Anthony.
Hey. Anthony, you just have so many names back there, man.
Tom Balones.
But yeah.
I've been watching too much of The Office.
Clarence Thomas is who you're
Clarence
thinking
Thomas,
of.
Yeah. That's it.
And that's a different, yeah, he did that with someone different, but I know who you're talking about.
It wasn't her?
I don't believe so. Huh. That was the whole case that came up.
Well, sorry to get us all
no,
off.
No,
I just,
no,
you know,
no.
It's talk radio. We're just talking.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would say that in regular conversation
yeah.
if we weren't mic'd up.
No,
like,
no,
I would
no.
say that. So, so what's the value in understanding the trade-offs with diplomacy?
I think one of the big values, and I think Trump gives us a great example of it today, right? So Trump probably doesn't have diplomacy as necessarily
no.
as his top kind of primary thing. But what you do find is, you know, there's a dark side to diplomacy. There's this real need to sometimes just be straight up and tough. Mm-hmm. And so I do think we as a country can say, well, if nothing else, mm-hmm. we know Trump can do that. He'll stand up and do that.
Yep.
It's just that you also have to know there are times where you want the soft glove or, as you put it, the velvet hammer.
Yeah.
And you got to know your audience,
I think,
right?
You need to go to New York.
Your audience yeah. when you do
yes.
it.
You need right. to go to New York and school him and his boy that he just fired. You know?
Oh, Scaramucci?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What
as
an
to
embarrassment.
Him and the F-bomb. What an embarrassment.
Yeah.
What
it's
an
like,
utter
what are you doing? Jeepers.
Thankfully for Kelly.
He's embarrassed. Italians too, by the way.
Yes.
Acting that way. Jeepers. All right, yeah. everyone. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for being with us today. We always love doing the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. Listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and Tuned In. You can go to our website, onelifradio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com and listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. We've got listeners in Japan, Germany, Sweden, all over the world, and I absolutely love it. So I wish I could speak some Japanese, but I don't know any.
Ohio means good morning.
Oh, does it?
Oh.
What is it?
Ohio?
Ohio.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Nice.
Ohio.
The only thing I know.
Okay, everyone. You know what? Thank you to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, and I'm forgetting one, but I'll get it tomorrow. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.